And now a break from the news for anthems, not the star-spangled kind, the songs that make us lift up lighters or cell phones, lift spirits, lift us onto the dance floor. ABC from the Jackson 5, the Beach Boys, God Only Knows, Chic with Le Freak. Now, one person's We Are the Champions is another's I'm Gonna Put a Fork in My Eye. But as rock critic and director Cameron Crowe puts it, every once in a while, the world claims a little piece of pop property and says, this is it. This is what it feels like to be alive. Rock journalist Steve Balton has talked to musicians behind 29 of these enlivening songs for his new book, Anthems We Love. It has a foreword from Cameron Crowe. Steve Balton, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Cameron also writes in his introduction, these are the songs that live on and on and on, a little journey there. What do you think makes a song an anthem?
Exactly. As Cameron said, it's a song that lives on. It's timeless. It's a song that's generational. One of my favorite quotes in the book, I was talking with Tito Jackson of the Jackson 5 about ABC, and he tells a story about being on his front porch in 2020, and a three-year-old girl, 50 years after it comes out, sings ABC to him, and he says, how do you know that song? And she goes, everybody knows that song.
Let's listen to My Girl, written by Smokey Robinson, performed by The Temptations, with David Ruffin singing his first vocals for the group. Let's listen. Well, Steve, let's just remind people, Smokey Robinson had also written My Guy, which had been a number one hit from Mary Wells. You spoke with Otis Williams, the last remaining original member of the Temptations. He said Smokey was inspired by the vocals of David Ruffin. What else did he tell you about this song?
They knew it was going to be a hit right away. They knew it was special. He has one of my favorite quotes in the book where he talks about the fact that why the song is so special. As he put it, it's Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. It's a song that everybody can relate to. As he said, everybody has that feeling of wanting that someone special.
Yeah. Another one that took on resonance, actually through performances, it was always big, but it got bigger, is One, You Two. Well, it's too late tonight to drag the past out into the light. We're one. Now, you two guitarists, The Edge, told you they performed at Madison Square Garden after 9/11, and there were 9/11 first responders in the audience. Some of us remember this. They pulled them up on the stage at the end of the show. It was also played at the funeral of a French school teacher who'd been killed for showing cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah, that was actually a very interesting story and one of the most interesting stories in the book. The song was actually performed with a whole routine by the French army, doing choreography the way that he explains it. And so that was something that moved the band immensely and was, as he says, 100% beyond their control.
I was just going to say, that is also the mark of an anthem. It's out of your hands at a certain point. You know, the world takes it on. Let's listen to You're Still the One, Shania Twain, a love song that she wrote for her then-husband, producer Robert Lang. Let's listen. Come on, listeners, you're singing. Even if you say you didn't like this song, you're singing. And Steve Balton, you know, as we say, these are become out of the hands of the artist. They belong to the world. And in this case, this was hard for Shania Twain because her husband cheated on her and they divorced. What did she tell you about how hard it was for her to hear this song?
Well, as you can imagine, it was very difficult. And she says, I'm like, do we really have to include this song? But I can't leave it out because it's so many people's love song. And actually, she was able to reclaim a happiness listening to the song because when she started to do it live, she thought about all the other people who loved that song, who got married to that song, and she thought about all the happy relationships that were involved in this song. And that's really what allowed her to sort of reclaim the song.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say that at this point, the sound you're hearing now is listeners screaming out, wait a minute, I like It's a Beautiful Day, More Than One by U2, or Fleetwood Mac. You talked to former lead guitarist Lindsey Buckingham, but it's about the song Big Love. Now, some people might say, why not Don't Stop? Which Bill Clinton used as his campaign song, or Tusk, which the band recorded with the USC Marching Band. Don't say that you love me. Just tell me that you want me. Tusk. So how did you pick Big Love?
Very simple. Lindsey picked Big Love.
There you go.
And it's funny that you picked those, because I would have gone for Go Your Own Way. But he really felt that Big Love captured the evolution in his career from Fleetwood Mac into going on to be the solo artist that he was for most of the 90s, and of course now is again. And look, anybody who's seen Lindsey Buckingham live knows how seminal that song is in his set.
Okay, let's talk about a song you did pick, TLC's No Scrubs. Let's listen. No, I don't want your number. No, I don't want to give you mine. And no, I don't want to meet you nowhere. No, don't want any of time. And no, I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. So Steve, Rosanda, Thomas, Chili told you she knew this song was going to be a hit as soon as she heard it, because women can relate to it. You know, Scrubs is the guy who's going to give you trouble.
Yeah. What was really funny about it, though, was it also became a lesson for men on how not to act. She talks about grandmothers playing this song to little boys, saying, you don't want to be this. This is not how you want to become.
It's hard to describe, Steve, how big some of these songs were. You've got Janis Ian's at 17. I learned the truth at 17, that love was meant for beauty queens. Spoke to so many kids who felt like outcasts. It was everywhere at the time. She had no idea. Carly Simon's Anticipation, she said she wrote it because she was bored waiting for a date. But we have to talk about the song that was named the best song ever by Gizmodo, a poll of music fans and neuroscientists. I mean, they said there's a scientific reason that this song touches all the bases that make something an anthem. It's Toto's Africa. David Page, the keyboardist who wrote the song, told you when he first brought it to Toto, they told him, oh, that'll be nice on your solo album.
Yeah, which is not uncommon in talking about all these songs. Sometimes someone knows it's going to be a hit instantly, but more often than not, it takes time. And it's funny, though, because he really loved it. He said, the very first time I heard the chorus, I was on the piano playing, and all of a sudden, I realized I struck gold. So imagine that feeling of knowing you hit gold, and then you turn around, and your band is like, yeah, great, we're not doing that song.
Well, he wins, because it still hits gold in our hearts. That song I could listen to over and over. That's Steve Balton. His book is Anthems We Love, 29 Iconic Artists on the Hit Songs That Shaped Our Lives. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it. Great pleasure.